At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
DK Metcalf, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Welcome back, America, to the RosterWatch.com Tradecast, the Week 7 RosterWatch.com Fantasy Football Tradecast. My name is Byron Lambert, and thank you for joining me once again. All right, folks, let's dive right into what's a big Week 7 trade market in play with so many buys coming into effect. And, of course, we will begin this week, as we always do, on the sell side of the trade market. And we'll begin with the running backs that I believe could be in play this week on the Week 7 Fantasy Football Trade Market. And, of course, you know, this is always a good time to remind you guys, I know we've talked about it on previous episodes, that, you know, sometimes we're a week or two early on some of these guys. Sometimes these guys ultimately end up being assets we just need to be having a conversation about and having an eye on. And it may or may not be particularly ripe this week, maybe in your league or for your situation, or a guy that we're still waiting for a little clarity on. But, you know, much of this, like the waiver wire, cheat sheet, and like many of the other tools at RosterWatch.com are about us having some foresight, being ahead of the curve, giving us an advantage over our opponents. And going through the trade market every week is a big advantage over our league mates, because most of them are only utilizing the waiver wire system on a weekly basis to improve their roster. And if we can pull off a critical trade here and there, that can really, really benefit us over the course of the season. And by listening to this podcast and taking a few minutes, you know, once a week, just to kind of peruse your league standings and see which of these guys may be available, who you might roster, and of the assets discussed, and be able to capitalize on, is a really, really shrewd thing to do. So let's dive right into the running back side. We spoke about Leonard Fournette last week. Clearly, he had a monster week, and if you held on to him, you feel really good about that. And, I mean, he seems to have really seized the lead role in Tampa on what's one of the best offenses in the NFL. The 28 touches he had were an outlier, though, on the season by a wide, wide margin. Actually, it was eye-popping to see Leonard Fournette get those 28 touches, but you know, that type of volume does seem to be in line with just how they view him at this point, which, you know, puts him in a fantastic position. He's an excellent player, and he really has always had the capability to be a workhorse guy. And it looks like that's kind of where Tampa is staking their claim on how they want to use Fournette this year. That said, we have to just look at the data here. Before this last week, Fournette had been a 15-touch-per-game guy on the season. And these 28 touches in Week 6 have now kind of moved him up to being like a 17-touch-per-game guy on the season, which I think, as things stand, is probably a pretty reasonable projection for Fournette moving forward. 17 to 20 touches a week, maybe an 18-touch-per-game guy. I would, if I was a betting man, that's probably where I'd put my money, is right around 18 touches a game here down the stretch, the rest of the season. You know, he's a 15 to 20 touch per game guy. He's not just a 15 touch per game guy. That's how they're using him, and it makes him clearly plenty, plenty valuable with lots of upside. I still think in leagues where he is now viewed as a total and unquestioned fantasy superstar that's living in a great situation in Tampa. I do think in that situation, he still, by definition, is a bit of a sell super, super high if that's, you know, what his value is, if that's how he's viewed in your particular league, especially since he goes up against Chicago and New Orleans this week and then has a bye week on the horizon, and then the Washington football team upon his return, who hasn't been as tough in the run column as projected preseason, but we do know Washington also does have a formidable, at least stable of talent along that defensive front that, you know, may not be ideal for a Leonard Fournette type of game. We don't want to discount anything he's doing too much at this point. We need to just read the writing on the wall. If we know we have Leonard Fournette and even, let's say, 18 touches a game on this offense the rest of the way, that's a very, very good place to be. So clearly not a must sell, and it's been quite a thrill for Fournette owners so far this season. But I do think he still circumstantially lives in the sell super, super high column. And he's a player that, of course, if you're going to sell him, it would strictly be to go after the most elite talent in all of fantasy, or if somehow you're a losing team that owns or rosters Fournette, he's an ideal candidate to liquidate down for a couple of good players that can help you have a more competitive starting lineup every week, try to get back on the right side of the win column, especially as we navigate these buys that are coming down the pipe. Darrell Henderson on the sell side of the running back market, the week 7 fantasy football trade market, right here on the rosterwatch.com tradecast. Darrell Henderson, really like his upcoming schedule: Detroit, Houston, and Tennessee, and then San Francisco before the week 11 bye. He's been on an absolute heater all season. And with Henderson, you just kind of wonder how many more times can you roll these dice without crapping out. Just given the context of some of our historical concerns about him in this particular situation, I think you do wonder how truly viable this trajectory is for Henderson over the long haul. I think he's still going to be plenty valuable. I think the question is, can he maintain at this clip? What's his marketability now? Is there some arbitrage to be had by doing something with him at this moment? Either way, you have to be feeling very, very good about things with Darrell Henderson right now. I think it's just maybe a little bit unclear. We got a lot of games in the bag so far this season, but as a Darrell Henderson manager myself, I still would like to sit a little bit more before I totally believe it, and even then, I'm not sure I ever completely will. I just think you're going to have a little bit of paranoia always with McVay and this offense and the durability issues that Henderson has kind of demonstrated in the past. That said, I think Darrell Henderson is a guy you probably keep plugging along with right now, just mostly praying he doesn't suffer an injury to kind of keep your options open here. We know he's got this good upcoming schedule. I think maybe the closer we get to that week 11 bye week, if he's still doing, you know, pretty well, or, you know, if we're a little, maybe more questions are creeping into our head, then maybe in these next few weeks it becomes a natural point to really make a priority to try to do with Henderson. But I'd say he's at least an asset, Darrell Henderson, right now. You'd be wise to keep your ear to the ground for a super sell high opportunity. Again, as we kind of look down the road for this next month towards that week 11 bye. Darrell Williams in Kansas City, coming off the huge game, massive usage. People are crowing about how this is better usage and production than Clyde Edwards-Helaire has ever delivered in this offense. Pretty good schedule ahead for Williams before a week 12 bye, so you get a lot of run out of that guy right now while Helaire is on the sidelines. That said, every week you keep him, it's a week he in some ways loses value because we are getting closer to that Helaire return. So I just say, why not try to capitalize off of a big recent waiver wire acquisition? Khalil Herbert, kind of a similar situation, a recent big waiver wire acquisition. Had the big game this last week. Lots of buzz right now around Khalil Herbert in Chicago, the sixth-round rookie. Good player we saw at the Senior Bowl. Really got better every day there. Flash three-down capability, good size, everything. I think what's really showing up here. We know Damian Williams, who was kind of the front-runner on waivers for him just a week to replace Montgomery just a week ago, has been sidelined with the being on the COVID list and been unable to participate with the Bears, and we're getting word that he has still not been cleared to return. So we know he'll be back sooner than later. It may or may not be this week, though. That's something to keep in mind as you value Khalil Herbert. And big picture, again, much like we said with Daryl Williams and KC, Khalil is 1 week closer to David Montgomery eventually returning as well. So you know that this value is ephemeral to some extent. And again, he was a recent waiver wire pickup. It's a horrible matchup this week at Tampa Bay. Why not try to flip Khalil Herbert in a consolidation trade to a desperate team who has to win now? I think that'd be pretty sharp. Jonathan Taylor, talked about him last week. I roster him in a league. I mean, I'm a big Jonathan Taylor supporter. Obviously not a must-sell. You're totally smitten with what's been going on the last few weeks. But, you know, we have to have an honest look at these things. And I still think that the most likely scenario for Taylor is because, you know, I'm on the wrong side of 500 and I roster Jonathan Taylor. It's been kind of up and down. He's one of your premier picks, right? And I think you could still consider liquidating Jonathan Taylor if you needed to onboard multiple good players to improve your roster at this juncture, if that's what you've identified as the best course of action, a course of correction for whatever's going on with maybe a team of yours who's just really fighting it out hard in the streets right now. You should be able to get a lot for Taylor at this moment. You could look to consolidate him. If somehow you're in a position where you could consolidate him with somebody else and move up to even a more elite player, I think you'd consider it. Not only a more elite fantasy player, but somebody with a more rock-solid profile that supports this type of production that you get really excited about with these super elite players. The question with a guy like Jonathan Taylor is really how high can you go? You're already pretty close to the top of food chain with a dude like that. But, you know, let's take a look at his profile. Jonathan Taylor, 4 touchdowns on a little over 50% snap count, average snap count over the last 2 weeks. Taylor has been living on huge plays, but he's only been averaging about 17 touches per game, and Frank Wright seems damn stubborn about it. He's making a ton of production in the receiving game, which seems a little bit unsustainable for Taylor, given that he's only averaging 3 targets per game on the season, even though he looks very good in that capacity. We are getting word that Quentin Nelson is close to returning, which would be a huge deal for Jonathan Taylor. Would love to see Marlon Mack get traded. That's very alluring as well if you are in the Jonathan Taylor market. But that's far from a done deal and is a thorn in our side at this point. I think that Jonathan Taylor is a great keep, obviously, but he's somebody at this moment that I do believe you could do something very constructive with if you have the desire. Continuing on here on the sell side of the Week 7 fantasy football trade market, we'll dive right into the receivers here. We spoke about Jalen Waddle the last few weeks as a buy low, a buy pretty low in our fantasy leagues. And I think you guys saw why we were kind of on that track. We bought him low these last couple weeks, and we've waited for him to pop now. Really like his future. That's why we bought low on him. That said, we're all about being opportunistic, and you guys have heard the old adage, buy low, sell high. I mean, how good does it feel to get some of these guys and then be able to flip them pretty quickly? And this was the second time all season that Jalen Waddle had 13 targets. That's pretty damn impressive. He's coming off the 25-point performance. And I think he's got another week or two maybe in him here down in front of us that could be pretty freaking good. He's got Atlanta at home is not a bad matchup if you got to roll him out this week. Certainly you consider keeping Waddle for what you have invested in him at this point. But let's remember, Devontae Parker's returning to practice. At some point it looks like Will Fuller will be back in the mix. Presumably Fuller is nearing a return. And I just think if you zoom out for a second, Waddle all of it has had a pretty massive shift in value over the course of the last week. So why not see if you can leverage that? Courtland Sutton. Wide receiver Denver Broncos does not have a bye until week 11. Still, Jerry Jeudy is close to returning, and Teddy Bridgewater looks bad. The quarterback situation in Denver is bad. The coaching situation in Denver is starting to deteriorate, which sometimes leads to some YOLO ball, which is good for fantasy. But coming off double-digit targets the last 2 weeks for Courtland Sutton, including 14 targets last week, he's had three 20-point games this year in half-point PPR, including back-to-back 20-pointers the last 2 weeks. I would wager that Courtland Sutton will average less than 10 targets per game the rest of the season, which is still more than enough for him to be productive. I think he's a fine keep, but could undermine his recent production a little bit and reset expectations. So I think that Sutton is definitely a guy you can sell high on at the moment in many leagues, and if you happen to roster him, it'd be worth having a look. DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver Arizona Cardinals, a fringe wide receiver one on the season. I am genuinely worried about his target share this year. We have a large sample now on the season for Hopkins, and if it's going to change, you know, granted, even one more target a game for him is a big deal, but if it's going to change, I don't even think it's going to change a lot at this point. Averaging 6.33 targets per game on the season, the Cardinals, in my opinion, have revealed how they want to play offense at this point. We have a lot of information. It's barely a top 50 wide receiver. DeAndre Hopkins, barely a top 50 wide receivers in terms of targets per game on the season. A very low volume wide receiver targets per game on an ugly 50% touchdown dependency. It's the worst touchdown dependency by a significant margin of any fantasy wide receiver in the top 12. His current level of production is simply unsustainable. That is DeAndre Hopkins. Given what we know now, unless, again, of course, there is a major offensive shift in Arizona, which would completely defy logic given that they are 6-0 and undefeated. There's no reason for them to change anything. So I think we should be worried about Hopkins. I mean, at this point, you start to realize probably what he's going to be on the season, and I'd say DeAndre Hopkins is far more likely to continue on this track and ultimately finish as a wide receiver two, albeit probably a good wide receiver two, than any type of bona fide wide receiver one. I'll say that again. DeAndre Hopkins is far more likely to continue on this track and finish as a wide receiver two this season than any type of bona fide wide receiver one. He's a great option for struggling teams to liquidate right now for a good few good buy low assets in return. He had a decent game on paper last week. I think you can get a ton for DeAndre Hopkins, and of course, you know, for winning teams in position, to try to build kind of nuclear here. I think he's also a guy that you could potentially consolidate with. Take DeAndre Hopkins, take another player, pack them together, go out and maybe get one of the most premier names in all of fantasy football. You have to be careful about doing that, but certainly I think if you're a struggling team with Hopkins, which you easily could be, he's an asset that could totally be liquidated into two very fine players at this moment. And sometimes, look, that's not the number one mandate. The number one mandate is eventually to be consolidating, be on the right side of the win column, be operating from a position of strength, work that waiver wire, build the depth of assets across your team, and keep consolidating and leveling the player equity up, the cachet of your fantasy roster up week after week over the course of the season. But that's just not the game everybody is fit to play. Some people are struggling. Some people have had injuries. Some people got byes. Some people are just, you know, in a tough situation. Being competitive every week, they need more good players, especially through the thick of these byes. And Hopkins absolutely is a player I think that you can achieve that with. Henry Ruggs, second-year wide receiver, Las Vegas Raiders, a bad matchup on paper this week, then a bye week. How much do you really trust this situation with Henry Ruggs and Derek Carr and a cockamamie coaching situation and cultural situation in Vegas? I mean, just ask yourself that question. Look at Henry Ruggs on your roster and say, how much do I trust this? He's averaging just over 5 targets per game. There's been a ton of buzz this week about Ruggs and how incredible statistically of a deep threat he's been on the season. I think it's over 20 yards per catch at this point. I mean, certainly he's been a nice, if you got him in round 9 or so, like a lot of people did using the Ultimate Draft Cheat Sheet back in August over at rosterwatch.com. I mean, they're tickled pink right now with what they're getting out of Ruggs. Still, I mean, in standard leagues right now, he's in the pocket with guys like Chris Godwin, Robert Woods, even Stephon Diggs in terms of points per game in standard formats. So to me, this just indicates this is a ripe time to shop Henry Ruggs in a deal for an elite player in return. Hollywood Brown of the Baltimore Ravens. He could be a sell high. Could be a sell high at only 7 targets per game with Rashad Bateman and Mark Andrews coming on recently. He's been on absolute fire over the whole course of the season except for this last week, which I think is a bit of a harbinger of things to come for Hollywood Brown. Maybe the rest of your league has not caught on yet of what could be these early signs of a negative trend, and if that's the case, this is a very opportune time to take Hollywood Brown and shop him around and see if you can improve your situation. Robert Woods snuck back into the end zone in week 6. He's been saved by touchdowns really on the season outside of the one big game. But after double-digit targets in week 5, unsurprisingly, Robert Woods regressed to 5 targets. We've seen how this team is going to play offense. We have a large sample. There will be big weeks, but overall the intentions have been revealed. I would sell Robert Woods immediately in a consolidation deal for a better player. Cooper Kupp is the unquestioned alpha of the Rams' passing attack. Then as we round out the sell side of the Week 7 fantasy football market right here on the RosterWatch.com Tradecast, we'll get to Noah Fant at the tight end position. A guy that I personally roster this season, a player I has a lot of skill I personally like. I know the Denver guys are a little down on him because he's just been bad in pass protection and had some issues along those lines that are no good. But still, he's a weapon they've had to go to, and Noah Fant's coming off of a big game. That said, if you watched it closely, it was basically a dud until late in the game. The numbers on the season look good, but it just feels like a sweat every week if you own him. And right now, he's tight end 7, right behind Darren Waller on the season. So I think he's got some marketability. If you roster him, you know what I'm saying. You just don't feel totally confident rolling him out every week. Especially we know Jerry Jeudy is close to returning. He's going to soak up a whole bunch of targets. A lot of this mid-range, a lot of the targets Fant could potentially utilize, Jeudy can kind of double for some of those. I think we'll see some attrition there. And Teddy Bridgewater looks horrible right now. The quarterback situation looks horrible. It's a bad situation in Denver in some ways at the moment. So I'd say coming off a 20-point game is best of the season. Noah Fant, I think he's a guy you can sell high on. It's going to depend on your situation, whether that makes sense, because good tight ends are hard to come by. And for a lot of people, he may be a keep. But I think especially if you're looking to move in on Darren Waller this week, if you happen to roster Noah Fant, you could be in prime position.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
All right, folks, before we turn over to the buy side of the Week 7 Fantasy Football Trade Market, quickly want to talk about a new partner at rosterwatch.com, the Jock Market, jockmkt.com, a new and revolutionary way to play DFS. If you guys are tired of losing money over on DraftKings and FanDuel and some of these other platforms that are getting kind of worn out, go try something new. Use the promo code ROSTERWATCH for a free deposit bonus, and Jock Market basically like a stock market for fantasy players in all sports, not just football. MLB, NHL, I guess in just about anything else, any of the other major sports as the calendar year round goes. And it's like a stock market with assets that you understand. You don't have to start a whole lineup. You just can buy and sell players that you like or think are undervalued or overvalued, and you can make money just like you would, you know, day trading on your stock market account online. So I'd encourage all of you to at least go give it a try over at Jock Market. They're giving money away with the promo code RosterWatch. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's flip the page to the buy side of the Week 7 fantasy football market. We will begin with the running back side. And, you know, this is a good time to mention I made the theme of this week's episode, the Week 7 episode of the RosterWatch.com Tradecast. This, I really tried to drive home a theme here. And that is, this is the perfect time of year for the winning teams, the strong teams, the rich fantasy teams that are living at the top of their standings, and especially those who've created significant separation between them and a lot of their league mates. This is the time for them to start playing the big stack. You know, in poker, if you guys, I'll make poker references on here. You know, something when you play in a big stack in a tournament, you should, or even at a cash game, you should play different. You should play a different style of poker. That's a winning tactic. It's a winning strategy, and that's what you will want to do here. You will want to start consolidating some of your depth and going after some of the big name players that are going to make your roster nuclear, even if it means absorbing somebody's bye week. This is a reminder that being opportunistic is looking to buy low, and sometimes that can be artificially created through bye weeks or through injuries. And so if you're a team that's got a lot of wins and you got a lot of depth, you can afford to take this risk here and go after the biggest names that hopefully are going to pay off for you down the road. And that reminds me, I had one more poker analogy for you guys today. You know, any of you guys have played poker before, you know, sometimes you got a hand where you just want to take the pot down right now before you see anything else. You don't want any more information revealed. And I was thinking that's a pretty good analogy for those Khalil Herbert managers right now. If they're looking to deal him, even if they're not looking to deal him, they should probably wake up a little bit and realize, like, this is a situation where you may just want to take this pot down right now, because it's more likely that any more information that comes out is to hurt you than to help you. All right, folks, we will begin going after the big names now on the running back side of the market here in Week 7. If we are a team operating from a position of strength, lavish with luxury fantasy assets, and so we're going to target these bye week guys and these injured players with big names on the running back side. We'll begin with Najee Harris, Steelers. He's got a bye week this week. RB5 on almost 23 touches per game this season, averaging almost 8 targets per game, 7.67 targets per game. That's been very, very steady for Najee. Only the 3.8 yards per carry. I think that's bearing out, you know, the issues with the offensive line that we all predicted preseason. But the other thing that was basically predicted preseason was that massive usage, there's a tipping point where usage overcomes, like, inefficiency and bad offensive lines, and that's just flat out what we're getting with Harris, especially with all those targets. And any sort of PPR format, it pays off big, and he gets very involved as these games escalate. Najee Harris, running back 5 on the season, is on a bye this week. So if you're in a winning team, you know, maybe you should go look and see what's going on with the owner. Where's he at in the standings that has Najee Harris in your league? You might be able to pick him off. I personally have seen plenty of teams that own or roster Najee Harris and are on the wrong side of 500 currently. The same applies to Zeke Elliott, also on a bye week. Guys, these are some of the biggest names in fantasy football. This is a tremendous fantasy football trademark in Week 7. This is a tremendous opportunity for you to improve your team. These are guys that can help you win a championship. Zeke Elliott, RB3 in points per game and half-point PPR, just a hair under 20 touches per game on the season. 5.1 yards per carry is his best Since his rookie year, the guy looks refreshed. He's getting a little over three targets per game, even with a little bit of that split with Pollard. Some of the early season and preseason concerns about Zeke, I believe, have been totally eliminated. And he has returned to kind of like that elite status, a player that you're willing to pony up to go get him. James Robinson, entering the week seven bye, was off to a little bit of a slow start. He may have owners that are lower in the standings in your league. He could be available, especially since on points per game, he's only RB10 on the season. It's been really nice the last few weeks if you've rostered him, and clearly his managers know that. But on the season, he is RB10, half-point scoring format, points per game, 16.83 touches per game. It's not a Zeke Elliott that's getting, you know, closer to 20 touches per game. 3.7 targets per game. That's nice for James Robinson. 5.5 yards per carry. I told you guys from training camp, this guy, he's a boss, man. He's a fucking boss. He's a sick running back. Averaging, though, here is the important stat. If you're interested in acquiring James Robinson on his bye week, he's averaging a steady 19.4 touches per game over the last 4 weeks. So when you kind of peel the layers of the onion back, you realize he is profiling a lot more like Zeke at the moment. Those first 2 weeks of the season where he got very little usage, it killed his touches per game on the season. But if you kind of drill down here a little bit, Robinson's profile really heating up along with his fantasy production. The Jaguars do only manage somehow to score like exactly 20 points every week, so that doesn't get you super pumped, but it does appear that Trevor Lawrence, the rookie quarterback, may be poised to kind of take a step forward here after the bye, and indications are that James Robinson is kind of, he is claiming finally a workhorse role there. It seems Carlos Hyde is trying to fade, starting to fade unsurprisingly, maybe rational coaching coming to its senses a little bit there in Jacksonville. Austin Eckler entering the week seven bye. Can you even buy Austin Eckler at this point? He's RB2 on the season. Maybe he's untouchable. He very well could be. We're still interested in acquiring him because I think if you're sharp, you know that regardless of some of the details we'll get to in a second, he's a player that you really are interested in the rest of the season. The truth is he does have a little bit of a sell high profile at the moment. So maybe that has, maybe some of his managers feel that way, and maybe he could be a little bit of available coming off of his worst week of the season, a bad week in week six. Heading into the bye week now, it's kind of like two lost weeks for Eckler managers. We'd still love to acquire him, even though it's on a hair less than 17 touches per game, which is basically what we predicted from training camp. I put the over-under at 16.5 on Austin Eckler. I doubt his managers are losing in your league. Most people who have Eckler are probably on the right side of 500, but it may be unlikely, but not impossible. So take a look, see what's going on with the Austin Eckler manager in your league. He is coming off that lowest output of the season, and you know, maybe there's something that can be done. At least go have a look at what's going on with Austin Eckler as he enters the week seven bye in your fantasy football league. Dalvin Cook also headed in the week seven bye. RB12 points per game over the course of the season. That said, he's coming off an absolute gigantic monster in week six. His managers have already probably absorbed a couple of down weeks due to injury. And he's second in the league in touches per game at 23. That said, he's RB12 on the season. Everybody knows he's an amazing player. But he hasn't performed as one of the very top guys overall on the season. His manager very well could be married to him. But I think the mitigating factors is a good chance that many Dalvin Cook managers may have a losing record out there. So that could create a little bit of a pain point heading into his bye week. Those guys need wins, right? So you'll have to make a beefy offer for Dalvin Cook, but why not take a crack is what I say. Live life, love life. Plus you get Alexander Mattison hitting waiver wires right now all over the place, and he is an ironclad handcuff that should be easily had for free in most formats at this point. Would be a really good situation to lock up for a winning owner with the luxury of assets to be able to assemble the monster deal that it might take to go get somebody like Dalvin Cook. But if you can do it, why not take a look? Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, both guys still injured. They're going to be out for, it's unclear, but at least a few more weeks. Their managers could easily be struggling. If you're cruising at the top of your standings and you've got the ammo to do it, absolutely go see what's going on with Saquon Barkley and Christian McCaffrey in your league. Those are championship-winning moves, potentially, if you can make them now. Let's flip the page to the wide receiver side of the Week 7 bye market in our fantasy football leagues. Michael Thomas, I think he's an interesting one. Still a few weeks out for New Orleans, kind of been out of sight, out of mind. People who've been prospecting on him have kind of been holding out this long. They're getting a little closer, so you know they want to see what's potentially in store. But I think he's an interesting guy. If you've got the assets to make it, who knows what's going on with whoever rosters Michael Thomas in your league. He could be like a sneaky guy to go kind of scoop up for, economically this week. Stephon Diggs entering his bye week. Hadn't been the season that we hoped it would be. I think we saw a little bit of a bounce back this last week. You know, this year may just not be what last year was going to be. Dawson Knox missing some time could certainly help him. But heading into the bye week, I mean, it's the best receiver on a pass-first offense with one of the best passers on one of the most aggressive, offenses in the league. I would take my chances with Stephon Diggs, and you may get a great deal on Diggs, having been kind of a down season, heading into a bye week. Certainly there may be a lot of Diggs managers out there that aren't on the right side of 500, and that may create an opportunity. Continuing on the buy side of the Week 7 fantasy football trade market, as we are breaking down the wide receivers that could be in play this week, Amari Cooper heading into a Week 7 bye. Again, this theme of this episode is about being opportunistic for the teams who can afford to do so. This is where we want to start taking advantage and capitalizing. And when we have good players going into bye weeks, that especially those have maybe not delivered winning records to their managers so far, this is a tremendous opportunity. You know, a lot of these guys are going to regress in the positive way here when they return. Amari Cooper playing second fiddle to CeeDee Lamb. Plus, we know we have Michael Gallup returning. I've gotten the strong feeling all season that Amari Cooper managers are not at all married to him. And what a flex or wide receiver three Amari Cooper would be down the stretch. I'd recommend you take a look. Justin Jefferson heading into the Week 7 bye. It's been a steady Freddy, low-end wide receiver one all season. Very steady, low-end wide receiver one returns on a weekly basis. Essentially, he's wide receiver 10 and points per game in half-point formats so far on the season. No real blow-up games for a guy like Jefferson, though, which is a little surprising. As you know, he has that monster upside. We've seen it. So you know there are a few of those performances on deck that are going to kind of come here in waves after the bye. He's just that type of player. Still, his managers have not seen the second-year performance they were hoping for, the highlight reel, high upside second-year breakout that many of them were probably expecting. He's been outperformed on a points-per-game basis in standard formats by guys like Deebo Samuel, Mike Williams, Ja'Marr Chase, Antonio Brown, and Marquise Brown. So his managers, Justin Jefferson managers, could definitely feel a tiny bit let down so far on the season. Plus, he's heading into the bye, and there's no guarantees that he's on a winning team in your league. DK Metcalf, 7.5 targets per game, coming off a down week. Plus, we got Geno Smith at the helm. We know Russell Wilson at this point is probably about a month out. He's got New Orleans this week, which is going to be a tough matchup. Then Jacksonville, which will be better, and then the bye week. So the next 2 out of 3 weeks are not that lovely for DK Metcalf. Look, his window might be open for a week or two. This is probably a guy we're a little bit early on here on this episode, but I'd say start keeping an eye out for a buy low opportunity on DK Metcalf. I do believe it will present itself. Terry McLaurin, Washington football team. 2 down weeks for McLaurin in fantasy. Hampered by injury right now, in and out of practice with a bye week on the horizon. I'd see what could be done for Terry McLaurin in my league. He'd be a nice player to add to your roster. Calvin Ridley, this probably needed to happen last week. We recommended this last week, especially now that his owner has absorbed the bye. I think they're less likely to do anything. But still, clearly, Calvin Ridley, not an untouchable player on the season, been big disappointment. That said, 10.5 targets per game, that always will get us interested. You know, we've got to take our chances, some calculated risks. You know, it's a calculated risk to go after a guy like Ridley that's getting over 10 targets a game. I mean, in theory, most of the time, at some point, that should pay off. He's averaging less than 8 points per game in standard on the season. Ridley gets a good matchup in Miami this week. And then the next few weeks after that are a little bit tricky. So just keep an eye out for Calvin Ridley. He may be like Metcalf, where you have a window here for a few weeks. And then the final buy low wide receiver target of week 7 is Keenan Allen. Also headed into a bye week. Been an enormous disappointment on the season for fantasy. 3 bad games in a row. No real big fantasy performances to speak of at all this year. Still, guys, Keenan Allen, he's averaging 9.67 targets per game on the season. It's actually more than Mike Williams. Mike Williams, 9.33 targets per game. So when you have a look at that, and granted, we know they run a little bit different routes, and Williams is maybe a little more vertical, a little bit higher value targets for Williams. That does not comport. Their target shares do not comport with the difference in their fantasy production. 8 points per game in standard so far this season for Keenan Allen, almost double, 15 points per game on the season for Mike Williams. Mathematically, that has to begin coming toward, those have to converge a little bit, which tells us that Keenan Allen very well could be a really nice buy low option for peanuts on the dollar right now in your league. 12% touchdown dependency for Allen. We know he's got to have some touchdowns in the queue for when he returns after the bye. And then finally, guys, one of the most popular trade targets of this week, the week 7 fantasy football trade market, is over on the tight end side. We teased it earlier when we were talking about maybe making a move with a guy like Noah Fant, who we believe is a little bit of a sell high. Why not go after Darren Waller? Take your chances. Tight end 6 in points per game, half point PPR on the season, not what his managers expected. He is tied with Travis Kelce, though, with 53 targets on the season as the league leader in tight end targets. That's obviously very exciting, but it is a little bit misleading because Waller had 19 targets in week 1. He's been way more of a 7 target per game guy since then, which puts him more in line with the Mark Andrews and TJ Hockenson's and Noah Fant's of the world, who I, you know, are mostly considered, you know, like they're still nice wide receiver or tight end ones, but kind of like tier 2 fantasy tight ends. You know, it's a cut below the Kelce's or, you know, what people expected Waller to be. And I think most people still believe Waller belongs more in that Kelce tier of fantasy tight end, and the truth may ultimately be that he just lies a little bit somewhere in the middle. Still, I think there could be a deal to be had on Darren Waller this week, and I absolutely would take a shot. Folks, can you package up the Daryl Hendersons, the Daryl Williams, the Khalil Herberts of the world, along with guys like Henry Ruggs or Hollywood Brown or any of the other wide receivers that we mentioned earlier in this episode, to go after some of the bigger names on the buy side of the market that we just discussed, some of the biggest names in fantasy football? I certainly think that you can this week, and I would encourage that you do so. I would recommend that you do so. If you're a losing team that needs help filling out a more competitive starting lineup every week, can you liquidate guys like Jonathan Taylor and DeAndre Hopkins for a king's ransom? You may have to consider it. And until next time, so long, Roster Watch Nation.